Okay, welcome to 7TWN Live. Thanks for listening to the show today. I'm glad you've joined us. It's a beautiful day out there. I'm Sam Hunter, and it is going to be a good show. We're going to talk about rest and freedom versus rules and performance. I happen to have a surprise guest in the studio. She says she doesn't want to talk on the show today, but I'm going to still say hey to my daughter, Britton.
Hey, Dad.
I'm glad to have you here, sugar.
Glad to be here.
How's your freshman year going?
It's good. We only have one more week of classes and then exams.
Oh, that's great. I know you've had a good year.
I have.
Well, you chime in if you'd like. I'd love for you to say anything you want to, but I know you weren't planning on that. Before we get started, I want to thank our sponsors for today's show, IT Pros. Gayton Heeman is a good friend, and I'm telling you, this guy is so good at what he does. The IT Pros can fix any problem you have. They are so good with technology, with business systems, software, interoffice networking, and they'll take as much time as it takes to fix the problem. They've got years of experience, and they really are true pros. No problem they cannot solve, and solve quickly. Call Gayton Heeman at IT Pros at 864-706-4568. That's 706-4568. And also Bull Hogs Barbecue, and I'll talk about them in just a minute. 7TWN Live is the radio arm of 7TWN Ministries, and our website is 721ministries.org. That's the numbers, 721ministries.org. Check it out. You'll find a lot of neat stuff on our website. And our name comes from Matthew 7:21-23, which, boy, is it going to tie into our topic today. Jesus says, please don't show up in front of me on Judgment Day and start giving me your list of accomplishments, all the good stuff you've done, the community involvement, the good church work and all, unless we know each other, unless we have an intimate relationship, a personal relationship, one-on-one, not a group relationship, but you and I, then you've missed it. You've lost it. And that is what we find so often. We're going to talk about that more in just a minute. Don't let that be you. Are you that person that really doesn't know Jesus and he doesn't know you? Feel free to call us today on the show at 888-660-WLFJ. That's 888-660-9535. Okay, let's play word association again. We did that last week. What words come to mind when you think or when you hear Christian or Christianity? What words come to mind when you hear that? And what do you think comes to mind of the world that are outside of the church family? And I know there are many words that would come to mind, but I'm very confident that two did not, at least not in the top 10 or 15, and that would be rest and freedom. I have to believe that that did not leap to your mind, rest and freedom, and yet Jesus talked about these often. He was very intent on passing that message along. I'm equally as confident that two words did, even if only in your subconscious. Even if you're a solid born-again believer and you know the difference, there's still two words that probably popped into your mind, at least if nothing else in your subconscious, and that's rules and performance. Rules and performance. Rest and freedom versus rules and performance, and that's what I want to talk about today. Did you know that Jesus' name in the Hebrew is the Lord Rescues? The Lord rescues. And, of course, he rescues us from our sin debt, but he also rescues us from the prison of performance. In Luke 4, he said, I've come to preach good news to the good news. And it is good news. And I've come to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, and to release the oppressed. And I want to talk about today is in the light of that, I want you to think about what he says in Matthew 11:28-30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am humble in heart and gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That is a huge part of Jesus' message when he is trying to detox us out of that rules and performance mentality. Guys, there's a lot of rest here. And this is not hard. This is easy. Now, we're going to tease that out in just a minute, but I have a caller coming in. Patrick, welcome to the show, Patrick.
Thank you, Sam. I appreciate that.
What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to ask you a little bit more about that. You make it sound like Christianity is so easy and almost sounds like kind of advocating a doctrine of like lazy Christianity, and that's just something I've never heard before. That's just not normally what I get when I've been going to my church most of my life.
Well, Patrick, I appreciate you calling in with that, because that's right off the bat, that's something I do want to make sure that any of you listening understand what we're talking about here. There is a real effort involved in following Christ. Yes, you're right. It is not sitting on the beach doing nothing. It's not being an amoeba, but it's not a burdensome effort. And that's what I'm going to try to contrast today. It's not an earning mentality, which is kind of a straining thing where you're trying to get God's favor and have him look at you with favor because you earned some gold stars. It's not that. It's more inside that relationship. And so, yes, you do have a role to play, but it's not that kind of earning straining. Does that kind of clarify it for you?
It does. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, thank you, Patrick. We're going to talk more about that as we go through the show. You know, it really is, it's true, and I want to make sure you understand that what I'm trying to do today is just contrast. It is to expose Satan's deception to us that it is about rules and performance. The more you dig, the more you really pursue holiness, the richer will be your experience with Jesus. You can be a born-again believer and have your ticket punched, if you want to look at it that way, for heaven. But that's not really, there's not a lot of reward in that. There's not a lot of richness in that. Again, the more you pursue holiness, the more you dig and go try to get closer, and the more reward, the more richness there is. But it's a passion, not a burden. And we'll talk a lot more about that in the next few minutes. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 6, right off the bat, in his Sermon on the Mount, he starts, you can just hear him saying, guys, it's not what you think. Don't live under that performance and rules mentality. He says this, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by men. Don't think being a Christian is about doing things so people can see it, so they'll see you and pat you on the back. And he says, because you will get a reward from men. They will see you and say, yeah, he's doing a great job. But it stops there. Your Heavenly Father sees what's going on in your heart. And then just a couple of minutes later, when he's getting ready to give us the Lord's Prayer, he says, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. You see, what I'm hearing him say when he says, don't do things to be seen by other people, and don't babble thinking God's going to hear you because you're going on and on and on, I hear the word performance. I really do. And I hear people, I just hear the heart of, I've got to perform to be heard by God. I've got to perform for him to like me. He goes on the same talk. At Matthew, same chapter, verse 6, he says, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? For the pagans run after all these things. The pagans are chasing after all these things because they don't know their Heavenly Father and what this is all about. Have you ever thought about why Jesus came? Have you ever given that much thought? I mean, if someone stopped you on the street, do you have a succinct answer for that? John, Jesus' best friend, did. And in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, he said, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. To destroy the devil's work. Now, certainly the devil's work primarily was to create a sin debt for us that we would then lose our salvation with our Heavenly Father. That was his job from the very beginning. But he's got a very deceitful way of going about that, and it traps us if we're not ready and understanding what's going on. Whenever you think of the devil's work, I want you to think of three D's. Three D's. Destroy, distract, and discourage. And of course, he does that through deception, but three D's, destroy, distract, and discourage. He wants you to think that the keys to the gates of heaven are all about keeping the rules and performing well. He wants us to think that the spiritual journey itself is about being good enough to qualify for heaven, or at least not bad enough to go to hell, for crying out loud. If I can just be good enough, God will grade on the curve, I'm sure I can slip in, or surely I'm not bad enough to go to hell. And if he can trap you in that, we call that the epidemic in the pews. 721 Ministries really came about because I was going into so many churches, and I'm talking every denomination, and you could say conservative and liberal. It didn't really matter. And I would look out in the group, and I would see the men not paying attention. They're looking at their watches. They're looking out the window. They're thinking about what time their golf game is or what they got to do that afternoon or who they're having lunch with, and they're not listening. And the reason they're not listening is they think they're okay just because they're in church. They're in Sunday school and church. I believe Jesus is Son of God, as in Abraham Lincoln was president. Same kind of belief, nothing deeper than that, no trust, and I'm fine. If Satan can keep us focused on rules and performance, then we'll miss the message of salvation. The good news that Jesus said he came to preach. Good news that it's not about doing, it's about done. D-O-N-E. As in, Jesus has already done it. You see, when we transfer our trust from our performing well enough to earn our way in to Jesus's performing on the cross, taking care of our sins, we open the gates to salvation, but not until then. And if you're not careful, you can fall into that deceptive trap of Satan and think that you're okay because you're performing pretty well and you are dying. It is a silent epidemic in the pews. Please think about that. Are you one of those? Now, if you have found salvation through a relationship, your relationship with Jesus Christ, then Satan will spend the rest of your life seeking to distract you and discourage you. Distract you and discourage you. And he'll do that by saying, okay, here's the list of rules. Here's the performance. How you doing on that? Work yourself to death. Jump on that treadmill and see how hard you can work at it, because that's what it's all about. Keep the rules. Perform well. Build that Habitat house. Make pancakes for the church breakfast. Go to Sunday school and church. That's all that matters. Just be there every Sunday or as often as you can. And keep you so distracted by that performance mentality that you miss the abundant life that Jesus said, I've come to give you. The rest and the freedom that he said, I've come to give you. How can he mean rest and freedom? And that's what it's all about, being a Christian and a follower of Christ. We're going to unpack that in just a second. The other thing he'll do is discourage you. Because keeping all those rules, that's not going to work for you. When we inevitably fail at the rules or fall short of our mistaken idea that he's an angry God, we fall short of those performance expectations, then what we're going to hear is these voices from Satan discouraging us. Oh, man, are you kidding? So you really think you're a Christian? Who are you trying to fool? If people only knew. Listen, if you can't do any better than that, you'd best just kind of give up. Or at least stay away from God until he cools off. That is a discouraging message. And again, we miss the abundant life, the richness that comes from that relationship with the Lord. Recently, a friend who was beginning to see the light, things were starting to jive for him. He was kind of seeing what this was all about. He looked at me one day with this dejected look on his face. And he said, I'm worried, Sam. And I said, what? And he said, I'm worried that I won't be able to keep it all up. And I was a little confused by that. And I asked him, keep what up? And he said, the Christian life I'm supposed to live. And I said, oh, there's no Christian life you're supposed to live. There is a Christian life that we want to follow, but you're not supposed to live. We're going to tease that out, unpack it for you in the second part of our show. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to the second half of 721 Live. We are talking about rest and freedom, a topic that was dear to Jesus' heart. Dear to his heart, versus rules and performance, which was something he really tried to detox us out of, that kind of poisonous mentality. And we're having a great time with it. Before we get started in the second half, I want to say you can check all of this out on our putting green on the website. If you go to 721ministries.org, 721ministries.org, you'll see the putting green. You can click on that, and that's a recap of the things we talk about during the week and on the radio show. And before we get started in our second half, I want to thank our other sponsor, Bull Hogs Barbecue in Pauline, South Carolina. Harold Jennings is the owner, and he's a good friend and a supporter of 721 and caters a lot of our lunches and does a great job. It is some good food. I got to tell you, that barbecue is great. His barbecue chicken is great. They start every day holding hands with a prayer, and it just, you feel that when you go in his store. You know you're with friends when you go in. Great food, great sauce and bread. He's got this peach cobbler that is actually literally world famous. Contact Harold or Kathy Farr, manager of the restaurant, at 864-585-7222, 585-7222, or check out their website, bullhogsbarbecue.com. Let me spell that for you, bullhagsbbq.com. Great food. Okay, we're talking about rest and freedom and rules and performance, and I have another caller on the line. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey, Sam. Thanks for your show.
Hey, thank you. What's on your mind?
Well, I hear what you're talking about, and I have to agree. It does feel like trying to be a Christian is a lot of hard work, and it can be burdensome.
Well, you know, of course, I do know that, Mike. Now, is there anything in particular that sort of burdens you or is kind of hard on you?
Well, I mean, I feel like I'm not praying enough or reading my Bible enough.
Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's kind of a, if you think about it, that's sort of an earning mentality. And when you hear that enough, and yet we do want to read our Bibles and we do want to pray. And I'll tell you, think about it like this, Mike. Michael Jordan had a clause in his basketball contract. It was called the love of basketball clause. Did you know that?
No.
Well, and you know, any pro athletes have, I mean, they're making millions of dollars. They'll put a clause, they'll have in their contract, you cannot go play pickup basketball. We cannot have a $12 million a year guy sprain his ankle playing in the backyard. But Michael Jordan insisted on that because he loved basketball so much. Now, there is nobody in the NBA that works harder than Michael Jordan or worked harder than Michael Jordan. Do you think it was a burden for him?
No. You know,
Larry Bird, who was one of the great shooters in the NBA history, someone said to him one time, I bet, you know, you really got a lot of God-given talent. And he said, well, yeah, that and 1,000 jump shots a day. You know, Tiger Woods, I don't think he's playing golf for the money.
Right.
I think he loves it. So
he's doing what he loves.
He's doing what he loves. So what I would say is if you could try to – shift your thinking to, okay, Jesus says this is about rest and freedom, so it's not like I have to do this, but I want to shift my thinking to I want to do this. I'd like to do this, and then watch how that might start to shift a little bit. You know, nobody enjoys what they're supposed to do
right, as
much as what they want to do. So maybe I would throw that out as something to pray about and think about, you know, and you could even say, Lord, I believe you are God of the universe. I believe you can work in my heart. If I'll do my part, I believe you'll help me. Will you give me a little more passion? Will you make this something that I do more of? From a loving, passionate standpoint, a desire versus a burden standpoint.
Well, I appreciate that. Now, I feel like I don't have to chew through the whole thing in 1 year.
And please don't try to do that.
Too much.
You'll get into Leviticus, and you won't make it much farther. Good talking
right,
to you, Mike.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling in. You know, Jesus said, I have come to give you rest. I want you to understand that this is not about a lot of burdens and efforts. Again, the more you put into it, the more you'll get out of it. But Jesus understood this epidemic in the pews and this poison that Satan has put on us. And what I want you to do, what I want to encourage you to do is start to view your spiritual journey through this prism of freedom and rest. If you can look at the words that you might read from your Heavenly Father, or that you might read from Jesus, and say, okay, that looks like a lot of work, or that looks like he's really expecting a lot, but now I know he's asking me to see this through a prism of rest and freedom, so let me shift that and not feel burdened by it, not feel like I, you know, guilt it can be a good motivator, but not in this sense. If you're driven by guilt, that's going to be more of a slavery kind of thing. And Peter himself said, look, a man is a slave to whatever is mastered him. You don't want to be a slave to this. You don't want to be driven by guilt. You know, Paul, who might seem like the poster boy, the poster apostle for works and mentality, that kind of mentality of you got to do this and you got to do that. Because if you read his letters and you don't have this prism of rest and freedom, you miss that and you think, hey, here's just something else I have to do. Like my friend said, I don't think I can keep it all up. He says in Colossians, now this is God speaking through Paul, but this is Paul as a human saying, here, you know, listen, I know how you feel. He says to the people in the church in Colossus, he says, since you die with Christ to the basic principles of this world, earning it, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These are all destined to perish with use because they are based on human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any real value in restraining sensual indulgence. See, what Paul is saying is, you know, this. If you really want to try to win the battle against your sensual indulgence, which you don't have to think of physical sensual indulgence, that's the heart and the mind. That's being focused on you and what makes you happy. It's not about regulations and rules. It's about freedom and rest. It's through a personal relationship. I love what he says in Philippians chapter 3. He says, if anyone thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, and you might just substitute working, earning it. I have more. I was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of the Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. You don't get any stricter than that. And I love this. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But then he says, but that was, I consider all of that to be loss, to be worthless, because it is a relationship. I want to know Christ Jesus, my Lord. I don't want to earn it. I want to know him. And through that knowing, you start to find that freedom. God tells us, again, through Paul in Galatians 5, verse 1, it is for freedom that Christ sets you free. It is for freedom that Christ sets you free. Stand firm then, and do not allow yourself to be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. I want you to think about that. Satan would love nothing more than for you to get bogged down in that rules and performance mentality and first, miss salvation because you think you might can earn it, and secondly, to miss the abundant life. If he can't destroy you, he wants to distract you and discourage you. And he will put all of his efforts in, and I really want you to really think about that, because when you're upside down, when things are not like you want them, and you're in a funk, or your emotions are up, or going sideways, you're distracted, or you're discouraged. And he loves that. And of course, you can be distracted by busyness, you can be distracted by materialism, all those things, and they all fall into that earning mentality. But that subtle, silent killer is that you're distracted by thinking, I'm not doing enough. I can't keep up with all these rules. If you will just understand that it's not about a burden. There is effort involved, but it's more from a passion. If you happen to be someone who loves to work in the yard, or if you are a handyman, you love working with tools. See, I don't. I don't like either one of those, and to do that is a real burden for me. Last summer, for the first time, I actually took it upon myself to plant some impatiens in my front yard, and I loved the way they looked afterwards. There's no doubt about that. They looked great, but I was miserable the whole time I was doing it because I don't like that. But I have to believe if you are one of those that does enjoy doing that, it's not a burden for you. You actually enjoy it. That's the way God would have you approach a relationship with him. Just think if you're single, or if you can think back to when you first met the woman or man that you married, and after the first date, the next time you went to pick them up, and the next time you saw them, they handed you a list. And they said, here's all the things that you have to do, and here's all the things you better not do if you want to date me. Now, if you had any sense, I would think you'd walk away from that relationship. Who would want to go into a relationship like that? And you see, that's the trap. If you think it's about rules and performance, then you're going to shy away. You're not going to embrace your Heavenly Father and the love that he has for you. Don't fall into that trap. There's so much more. Now, I want to sort of head to the finish of the show today with telling you what I think is the way you want to live. Paul, again, writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting at verse 12, he says, and the people in Corinth had a saying, everything is permissible for me. So Paul plays off of that saying. He says, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but I will not be mastered by anything. Now, understand everything is permissible is within moral guidelines, but he's just playing off there saying, so first, when you're looking at something, it's not, will God get mad at me, or is this right or wrong, but is it beneficial? And might it get a mastery over me? And then he goes on to say in verse 8, and it might be permissible, but might it be a stumbling block to somebody else? And then in chapter 10, he really wraps up. He says, it might be permissible, everything's permissible, but nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. So if you can start to process life through that prism of, is it beneficial? Might it get a mastery? Is it going to cause someone else to stumble? And I don't want to be seeking my own good, but the good of others. Now that is starting to be a freedom, a resting way to follow Christ. I want to give you the ultimate rest and freedom promise that we get from our Heavenly Father. It is the ultimate, and it is something you can have. God says through Paul in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Detox out the misconceptions, and then start digging deeper. Just to that relationship, the rich. And don't conform to the pattern of this world, which is busyness and earning it and chasing after. And he says, if you'll do those things, here's the promise. And it is a cosmic promise. It is an unbelievable promise. Then you will be able to test and approve. And that's sort of clumsy language for you will know what God's will is. You will know what God's will, and you'll know that it's good, pleasing, and perfect. And I want you to know you can actually live that way, because I have and do now more often than not, and sometimes I drift away. But you can actually live knowing God's will. You can move through life feeling those nudges of, yes, do that, go to, call that person, give some money there, help out there, and little checks that say, no, don't do that. No, that's not what I want for you. That may be okay, but that's not best for you. That's rest. That's freedom. I want you to have that. That is the way Jesus wants you to live. Digging deeper into that relationship, but doing it through passion and joy. Rest and freedom versus rules and performance. What a great message from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's not about earning my favor and my love. It's about our relationship. Listen, each week we publish on our website a recap of this week's topics. We call it the Putting Green, 721ministries.org. That's 721ministries.org. So long, God's peace to you. Hope to see you next Friday.